Welcome to this Monday edition of Wind Tucson, and it is still raining, and it's wonderful, and we're still involved with the election. I think Arizona held hostage day 25. It's gone on for a long time. I did want to take a moment just to acknowledge the passing of Congressman Jim Colby. I knew Jim, met Jim when I was a television reporter here, and Jim did an amazing job of representing Southern Arizona. He cared deeply about the state. He was intelligent. He was caring. He had a great laugh. He always was kind and very respectful. And I knew him as a very young woman who had just started her career in television, and I, much like this, just kind of learned, and he was very, very gracious. And he was our congressman when Mo Udall was our congressman, and Senator DeConcini, and Senator Barry Goldwater. And so I got to interview some really incredible men, and I was saddened to hear that he had passed away this weekend at age 80. Coincidentally, we are joined by a very much alive congressman who I also voted for and wish I could still continue to vote for, and that is Congressman Andy Biggs. Andy, welcome to our show this morning.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm assuming you knew Jim Colby.
I did know Jim. I sure did.
He's. I think he served us well. I honestly can say. He seemed to put Arizona first, and I know there's a lot going on in Arizona, but if you don't mind, a few weeks ago, there was a kind of a test run to see if Speaker McCarthy should be the speaker, and I don't think that's resolved, so can you update us on what's happening with the speakership right now?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is on January 3rd is the day that you actually vote for a speaker. And it's very public. You have to stand up and you have to say their surname, who you're voting for. And it's done a little bit differently. I mean, it's the how you calculate the winner is done differently. It's not just a majority of 435. It's the majority of everybody who votes. So it's an interesting way to do it. But anyway, Mr. McCarthy does not have the votes as we sit today. I don't think he's going to get the votes. I think if people, I keep putting out information on this and why he should not be the speaker. But the reality is, if you go to theblaze.com today, you'll see a great piece by Daniel Horowitz, which explains why I don't understand why people want to just keep going back and getting the same people to do the same thing over and over again, because you get no results.
But what's the definition of insanity, correct?
Yeah, exactly right. And so I look at it and I say, if you can't make a change now, when can you make a change? Because I was told we couldn't make a change a couple of years ago because we were in the minority, and we couldn't make a change then. And then I was told that if we got a majority this time of 30 or 40 seats, which they kept predicting, that we couldn't make a change because Kevin would deserve the shot. And now we can't make a change because there's a small majority. So what they're saying is you can never change out the establishment status quo people because why? They can't give you a why. Just you can't do it. You just can't do it.
Well, and I think if we look across where there was red waves, and quite frankly, in Arizona, we have now six Republican congressmen and one woman, Debbie Lesko. But I think we, which is interesting given all the other election stuff, and I'll parking lot that for right now, but we picked up two seats here. And you look across the country, and there are clearly a lot of new congressmen coming in, congresswomen. And I don't know that Kevin McCarthy was the source, some of them, but not all of them. And I think there's a mandate for true conservative principles in this country. And for some reason, the Freedom Caucus has been demonized. And I think you're standing up and for the majority of the people. I could be wrong about that, but just in my conversations and people that I talk to, people want to restore representative government. They want the Constitution and the law adhered to, and the Freedom Caucus doesn't waffle. The Freedom Caucus doesn't pander to people like Liz Cheney. And thank God you got Harriet Hagman coming from Wyoming. So there's some really positive things that I think have happened, but these aren't the people that Kevin McCarthy supported. So how do you win over the new people? Because I think that's where the difference can be made.
Well, some of the new people, are with me, and some of the new people aren't. But what you said is actually so accurate. We could talk about, there's, as we sit here, there's the negotiations going on the big spending bill that will last from whenever we pass it until September 30th. In other words, the entire fiscal year. And what I keep telling people is, don't you understand? McCarthy's going to, he's very comfortable with that. The problem is 95% of our leverage against the Biden administration is in the spending bill.
Correct.
That's what the Constitution is designed for. And when you negotiate that away while we're still in the minority, then to me, that's just absolutely legislative malpractice. I mean, we have a chance to stop it. So I'm trying to sell that to people so they understand that. And the other thing, too, Kathleen, and you know this because you've been involved and you've watched this for years. We're going to be moving into a presidential election for 2024. We're almost in 2023 now. And once you hit October of 2023, Congress slows down to do just a very few bills. Why? Because they're out there trying to help their candidate for president get elected. You're going through presidential primaries. The members of Congress get otherwise distracted. And that's just, I think that's bad, but I mean, that's what happens.
It's the reality. You're being completely candid and honest, and how refreshing that is from a congressman. I expect nothing less from you, by the way. I'm going to hold you to that standard, Andy. I just hope people will take the time that they will not rubber stamp this. I don't think Kevin McCarthy has, I think he was serving himself in the election of these Congress people, and I don't think he was looking for votes, and I don't believe he's got the best interest of the party at heart. I think we have to put the people first, and I really want someone who represents that point of view. Andy, we have to go to a small break, and then we'll be right back. It's about a 2-minute break, and I want to ask you about water. I want to ask you about sex trafficking and some other issues that you've been speaking out about. We're talking to Congressman Andy Biggs. You're listening to Kathleen Wynne on Wynne Tucson on 10:30 a.m., The Voice. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to this Monday edition of Wynne Tucson and my very special guest, Congressman Andy Biggs. Andy, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. So Project Veritas did a bombshell report that talks about how our government is actually the logistical arm of the cartel's child trafficking ring. That's actually a quote from you. And as you know, I've spent since 2010 fighting against human trafficking, sexual exploitation. And as someone who works in that space, it has progressively gotten worse under the Biden administration. And I don't know if you know, but our number of missing children has gone up exponentially. Mm-hmm. Crimes in Arizona, I can't speak to the rest of the country. I'm going to assume it's across the country. But how is it that that's not a priority? Because they just fired Magnus. I wish they would get rid of, I think it's Mayorkas. It has to be criminal if you are helping facilitate the criminal enterprise of the cartels in the trafficking of human beings. How is that happening in the United States of America?
Well, it's happening for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that the leadership of the federal police apparatus under Joe Biden is absolutely aloof to the issue. They don't care about this issue. Now, if it was happening under Trump, then the left and the media on the left would be going ballistic, trying to castigate Trump. But this, the media is complicit with this administration. They're perfectly content with it. And you're right. It is getting worse, exponentially worse. And I'll just give you an example of how this happens. The administration with Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who I want to impeach, and I'm finding resistance, believe it or not, from the Republican Party. But he needs to go. He is dangerous. What's happening is you've lost 20,000. This is a year ago. This is the numbers that they came clean on a year ago. They misplaced 20,000 unaccompanied children that they placed throughout the country. Well, they don't even know who they placed them with. They had a name. It could be a false name because they don't vet them. They don't do anything. We could be just actually moving a child right into with a sex trafficker or a pedophile because we don't vet them. We don't care if they're illegally in the country themselves. So in the meantime, more than 2 million people have illegally entered the country, many of them unaccompanied children, and we're just putting them out there, and the administration won't even come clean and tell us if they know where those children are. It happens when you place, and I know people are going to say this can't be the case. Well, you are a resource-driven institution if you're the DOJ and FBI. And if all your resources are going to chase parents at school board meetings or to go after people who have some kind of political heterodoxy to the left-wing administration, then you're – and we know this because we've actually had whistleblowers tell us they were moving people from sex crimes units and to these politically charged units. And so, Kathleen, that is – they're more interested in gaining political control than to protecting victims of crimes like this. That is what's happening. That's the reality. And that's what, hopefully if the Republicans and on the two committees I sit on, hopefully we'll be examining that pretty closely.
Well, we have, and just so you know, in terms of Arizona, our missing children has doubled and disproportionately, if 10 kids go missing, 6 to 7 of them are minority children. So, and we're looking at people coming in the country, Andy, but we're not looking at the border the other way because it's open the other way too. So, you know,
that's right.
And no one's talking about that. Never mind the missing indigenous people. We have 22 tribes and those numbers, and that's a whole other problem. Not even, it could be associated with this. But the cartels are organized. They're funded from China. We don't talk about China. We're all caught up in Russia and Ukraine. We are shipping money and spending it like a drunken sailor. And we have inflation. And the people in this country are overwhelmed with the significance of problems. And so even though this is the thing I still continue to work on and try to bring technology and resources to our state, our police departments don't have the capacity or the manpower. And if you are fighting against Homeland Security or Border Patrol, although I think we have a good relationship with those agencies in our state, you can't get your job done. And the gotaways alone, just look at what our border sheriffs are telling us and the thousands of people that are still continuing. And then Title 42 is about to go away, which is going to have another impact on top of this. So who's the best person to lead the Congress with these types of issues?
Well, you know, the reality is I've been trying to be the leader on that. And so the Judiciary Committee is going to have hearings on this. I am the chairman of the Border Security Caucus because everything we've been talking about is impacted because of the failures on the border. I've got people, believe it or not, in this Congress who say, well, Mayorkas hasn't committed a high crime or misdemeanor. And I'm like,
oh my gosh,
let's start going through them and see if that's, it's not incompetence. It's willful. He's at least committed perjury to Congress. How about that? But the point is we have to keep fighting it. It's not going to be Kevin McCarthy who shows up and does a press conference on the border. It's got to be somebody.
Has he been to the border? I think he did. He just make his first guest appearance.
Yeah, he went down. You know, McCarthy went down, had a nice presser on the border a week or two ago. And what I keep telling people is, when's the last time he talked to rank and file members of the Border Patrol or ICE or came to understand exactly what's happening? Because what is happening is we are the logistics arm. We are the ones that are transporting these children everywhere throughout the country. The government is.
Right.
We're also through grants to NGOs, we're helping facilitate their transport and smuggling operation into the United States. That, to me, is criminal. There's so much we could do if we would. I just don't believe that the Republican nominee for Speaker, who's now negotiating away our biggest tool, which is the budget, is going to even leave us with very many tools left to fight the Biden regime.
The whole reason people went out and made the Republicans, the majority in Congress, was to slow the roll on the Biden administration policies, but to fight to keep taxpayer dollars back in our coffers. We've been watching the money just disappear. And then to find out the whole FTX thing and there's no accountability to the money that we're given to foreign countries. So we see that our own country is being destroyed, and yet we're trying to help the world, but with no accountability. And I think people are just fed up, and I don't think they'll tolerate a weak leader right now. We need the strongest leader that we can put forward in this Congress. I think it is so critically important that we do that. What about water in Arizona? I think there was a letter or something that I saw that you and the other five Republicans put out. Can you share that with my listeners?
Yeah, so I wrote a letter, and my colleagues, the Republican colleagues from Arizona, and actually some others are with us on this. There needs to be and continued negotiations with Mexico on the water distribution from the Colorado River. And it needs to be expedited. I hear you guys are raining down in Tucson, and I heard that Gilbert's getting some rain too, but the reality is we're in a massive drought for decades long, and we don't know when we're going to get out. So we've got to make sure that we find other sources of water. And one way is this a desal plant in the Sea of Cortez that's been discussed literally for a long, long time. Yeah, and it's time for us to actually step it up. So my office has been putting pressure on for quite some time to get that going. And so we just keep pushing on and keep pushing. I've met with some of the water leaders in Arizona, whether it's
Gail Griffin.
DWR, CAP, SRP, water groups, and my position is California is wasting water and causing bigger problems.
I've heard in California we're pouring perfectly good water into the ocean every day.
That's correct.
And why can't that be captured?
Well, because you've got a couple things. You've got There's the snail darter. So this little fishy thing in the Central Valley is on the endangered species list. Well, you know what else is? How about
human beings that need water?
Yeah, people. Yeah. So I'm preparing legislation, and I don't want to scuttle the so-called negotiations, but to basically say, look, if you're flushing 150,000 acre feet of potable water into the ocean every year, then you lose that much of your rights on the Colorado River allotment. But, supposedly California is finally coming to the table and negotiating in good faith. We'll see. But I have not seen proof of this, but their coastal commission that has scuttled every other desal plant along the California coast supposedly has approved several. And we're trying to verify if that's true, because they got to take the water pressure off on that side, which allows the water pressure to be taken off on our side and Nevada side. And right now, Arizona we've given up so much more water than anybody else, both in actual acre feet and in percentage of our allotment. California is going to give up 400,000 acre feet this year. That's just a small pittance of what they take off the river every year.
So, Andy, is it possible you can stay one more segment, or do you have to go? I know you're super busy.
I'm sorry, I've got it. I have to go.
I know you do. I'm going to have you back. Thank you for everything you're doing. Keep up the good fight. Congressman Andy Biggs, this is Kathleen Wynn on Win Tucson. Come back again. Thank you, sir. Welcome back to Win Tucson. This is Kathleen Wynn, and I really love talking to Congressman Andy Biggs. He is fighting for us, and we need more leaders like him. We are in a position right now in this country where the next 2 years are really going to be kind of the stopgap if we want our country to be safe, if we want to take it back. The trafficking thing, the human trafficking, the human smuggling, the number of people that have come into our country that we have no idea who's here is a matter of public safety. And we as a country absolutely need to make sure that we're protecting ourselves. I agree with Congressman Biggs that Mayorkas should be impeached, that he has been derelict in his duties. I believe that Magnus, who was fired and let go, that he was a scapegoat, much like when we had Fast and Furious, because the people at the very top aren't going to take responsibility for the bad decisions that they've made. During the last year, when I was running for Congress and prior to that, there were missing children in this state. And I don't have, I have a nonprofit, but I don't have an agency that actually goes and finds children. But when people couldn't get the help that they needed, I received calls. And the last little girl that we saved, to Andy's point, was an eight-year-old girl from Mexico that was brought into this country. She was being housed in El Mirage, Arizona. She didn't belong to the people that brought her into this country. And she was being used for commercial sex. And we received, I received a call from people that didn't speak English. And I had to find someone who spoke Spanish. And we did recover this girl several days before the primary election in August. And I have seen firsthand the impact that this has, not only on these victims, and there's thousands and thousands of victims in our country right now who are being exploited, who are being raped for profit. And we can't sugarcoat this, and we can't wait to fix it. I remember during the Trump administration, there was this huge outrage about kids in cages. But right now, we have children all over this country being bought and sold every day. And the average age used to be 14, now we're down to 12. And that can't be an atrocity in an organized country like ours, and in a constitutional country, in one that has faith in God and faith in our laws and faith in our Constitution, to allow our children to be put in maybe not even U.S. children, but foreign-born children. Does it really matter when it comes to children being exploited and raped and used for profit of criminal enterprises? And those criminal enterprises aren't just selling children, which is egregious enough and evil enough, but they're bringing in drugs, fentanyl, and other drugs into our country at epidemic proportions that we have now seized enough drugs at our border to kill everyone in this country 15 times over. What has to happen in this country, and what is this Congress going to do to stop that? I believe that Senator Sinema has started speaking out. I have not heard Senator Kelly yet, but hopefully he will do this, because these are the things that make us distinct and different from other countries. And so I applaud Congressman Biggs on his efforts. I look forward to our two new congressmen, Juan Ciscomani and Eli Crane, joining the ranks of the other four here in Arizona. It is nice that we have six Republicans and three Democrats representing us in this state, and I'm confident that they will do a good job. On Friday, we talked about the election. Today at 10 o'clock, towards the end of the show, I believe that they are going to certify this election, which will then allow for legal challenges. There is much to still unfortunately be done about the election. If people believe that they have legal standing to sue, that does not make them election deniers. They are trying to ensure that the process was fair, was equitable. There are some statistical anomalies that have occurred during this election where, like I just said, we have six Republican congressmen. So somehow we voted for that. We did not vote for a Republican governor, secretary of state, or AG, although that race is close. And that, because of the 510 vote delta, is going to an automatic recount. By the same token, I believe Tom Horn won by 600 and some votes. And he is coming and will also be subject to a recount. Those two races are kind of up for grabs and may change. But what you need to understand is that while people go through that process, the bickering and the name calling and the back and forth, and even people in the party, you need to let the legal process go. We have these legal protections for a reason. Our elections need to be done with the highest level of integrity. With everything that happened in Maricopa County, 68% of the polling places not being functional. If you spend 2 years of your life running for office and you spend all that money, time, energy, and resources, and you don't believe, because there's thousands of people that have stepped forward and said, this is my experience, we have a process that says, yes, you can challenge it. And that's what's going to happen this week. I'm confident that there'll be four or five lawsuits that are going to be filed. Carrie Lake, Abe Hamadeh will get to bring his suit back. And I'm not confident about Mark Fincham's lawsuit. I'm not confident about a suit if he's filing it, but I believe there will be one there. And several others from people that feel that they were disenfranchised from the election process. That is their legal right. You don't have to like it. There's a lot of things the government does that we don't like. But at the end of the day, that is their right, and we have to honor that. If you've got any questions or any comments, you can call in at 520-790-2040. I have been working in elections since Senator Goldwater was our senator, and that's been a long time. We didn't have these issues many years ago. We didn't, not to say that everything was fair and copacetic and perfect, but everyone worked together, Democrats and Republicans. I don't think even people can imagine that anymore. But they tried to do what was best for Arizona. And Jim Colby's passing reminds me that we need to get back to that. Doesn't mean I have to agree with your philosophies, with your principles, but we certainly need to protect the right to vote. It's great when you're winning. It's great when you have the people in office. But if you're not in office, you should want that right as much for your opponent as anybody. And I think we've gotten away from that. So, Matt, is it okay if we go to break a little bit early? And then when we come back, we're going to be talking to Kim Adair, who's the executive director of the Arizona Bowl. She's got an update with the team selection. And there's going to be all kinds of exciting Arizona Bowl news. And the most exciting thing is I got my blue blazer yesterday. And so I'm now official on the Arizona Bowl team. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back after these messages. And we'll be talking to Kim Adair from the Barstool Arizona Tucson Bowl. Thank you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Win Tucson. I had told Kim to call in a few minutes more from here, so she's fine. I took an early break. So what I have to tell you is that last year, the Arizona Bowl game got canceled. It was one of four bowl games that got canceled due to COVID. And one of our teams that had been selected decided to go play, I think, in New Mexico. So we didn't get to have a bowl game. And yesterday, when they announced the teams, they were excited because, quite frankly, these people have waited now 2 years, and I believe this is the seventh or eighth, and we'll ask him when she gets on what bowl game that we're going to be hosting. What's really exciting is every penny that they raise stays in Tucson, Arizona. And that's really wonderful. Plus, then you're getting two teams that come here that bring a lot of fans. Most of the people come from much colder places. So coming to Tucson, Arizona is a wonderful thing. It happens after Christmas. The bowl game is on December 30th. And there will be all kinds of free events, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. And you can buy tickets now. So there is a website, and it is, let me see, it's really easy, thearizonabowl.com. So thearizonabowl.com, you can go there and buy tickets. And every ticket that we sell, they donate 100% of their net proceeds to local charities. So this is a committee that works and functions to totally give back to Tucson, which is one of the main reasons I got involved. I love what they're doing. I love the work that they're doing. And some really great people serve on this committee. And the tickets start at $25. And you can get VIP tailgate passes and parking passes. They're also on sale right now. All tickets are digital, so after you purchase your tickets, you download the SeatGeek app. Not easy to say, Matt. I can't say that fast.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, not. It's Monday. My mouth's still getting back in shape here. So download the SeatGeek app to load them to your mobile phone. So we look forward to having a sold-out stadium and just keep that going. Okay, and we have an action-packed week of lots of excitement. I want Kim to be able to announce the team, so I don't want to give that away. Although I will tell you that we have a team that is coming back that is repeating, and then on December 29th, the day before the game, we are going to have a pep rally downtown in Tucson, 5th Avenue in Toole. It starts at 5 p.m., and there is no charge. So a lot of the events that the Barstool committee does is to involve the community, is to have you be a part of the experience, even if you can't go to the game, and celebrate this big pep rally with both the teams. And I believe that Kim is calling in. So you don't have to hear me talk about this because I really want her to talk about it. So, Kim, welcome to Win Tucson. It was great to see you yesterday. And I've been stalling a little bit. I wanted you to tell my listeners who are the teams that are coming to Arizona in just a few short weeks.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. So good to talk to you. Yes, we're so excited. Yesterday, we announced that from the Mountain West, we will have the University of Wyoming Cowboys. And they will be playing from the MAC, the Ohio Bobcats. And so it's going to be an incredible matchup. These are two great teams. And we're excited for Tucson.
Very excited. And I thought it was kind of cool, you know, this is the Arizona Bowl game, and that we have Cowboys and Bobcats. I thought, how appropriate is that, right? We couldn't have gotten two better mascots to come to our state.
You're they're going to feel right at home, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I'm sure the Ohio people, Wyoming, it's not warm in Wyoming either, will be, hopefully the rain goes away. And although we love the rain, but it'll be wonderful to be here. The Wyoming is coming back. So Wyoming, people were very excited about Wyoming yesterday because they visited us before, correct?
Yes, they were here in 2019. And what's really exciting about Wyoming is that they show up in full force. They have a huge contingency already with people living here, kind of snowbirds that are here in Arizona. And so those folks turn out, and then they really turn out the lights, and Laramie and the whole town really will come down to Tucson for that whole bowl week, which is really exciting. That's what we want to be able to offer our community, which is all of these terrific visitors here shopping in our shops, eating in our restaurants, staying in our hotels. That's the type of economic impact that we want.
getting the real old Pueblo experience and feel and everything we love about Tucson. So December 29th is a pep rally. What can you tell everybody about that? And I've already told them that there's no charge for admission. It's free. But tell the listeners how that works and how they can participate and be a part of that.
So the pep rally is so fun. That's going to be down on Fifth Avenue and Toole, right behind Hotel Congress. It's also the same location as our downtown Bull Bash. But the pep rally is our opportunity to get everybody really excited before the game. All the fans come out. We have the two bands and the two spirit squads from each university there. The university presidents and athletic directors will be there and the mascots. And it's really a great opportunity for us to get the fans excited, and we do a battle of the bands. So each band will go back and forth playing their best songs. And it's just a really wonderful, exciting environment and the way to kick off, you know, working into our bowl game the next day. That's actually going to be followed by a downtown pub crawl as well. So it's just going to be one fun thing after another as we go into bowl week.
And if you do the pub crawl, drink responsibly.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just want to get that out there, because my TPD friends, I want them to know I'm trying to help. So how long does that last? And I guess the pub crawl will be after, but how long is the battle? Is that an hour, 2 hours? Is it, how does that go?
Yeah, the pep rally usually lasts about an hour, and then we encourage people to stay downtown and go to our terrific downtown restaurants and shops and spend their time down there and participate in the pub crawl if that's your thing, which I think, you know, definitely my thing. It's going to be a lot.
I was going to say, ever since I've moved to Tucson, I have never seen such an amazing restaurant, bar, culture. Like I guess I didn't realize it when I was in college, but coming back and living here now, it is the thing to do, and it's so much fun, and we've got so many great restaurants. So the next day, December 30th, is Barstool's Tailgate Festival, and that's from 10 a.m. to 2:30, and again, no charge. It's on the U of A Mall. And if you've got tickets to the game, you can buy tickets to Tailgate, correct?
So the tailgate is free to anybody. So anybody going to the game or anybody just wants to come and have some fun that morning before the game. We hope that everybody coming to the tailgate will eventually get to the game. That's the whole purpose. But it's a really exciting event. We have we'll have both alumni associations. Both bands will be down there again. We have music that's going to be played. We have a live, for professionals and amateurs, cornhole tournament happening.
I've got to sign
there.
Up.
I know, it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, one of the great things about that event, too, is that we have our community, we call it our community festival, where a lot of charities locally, about 50 or 55 charities will be down there being represented, having games out there so that people could come by and learn about the charities, but also have some fun playing games. And we have another live stage there in that section where we'll have live music from community organizations. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The tailgate is always a blast. And of course, drink responsibly, but we will also have plenty of bars and, bars and porta potties, because they go hand in hand.
Well, I'm so glad to hear about the porta potties. That is critical and is important, especially if you're drinking. So then at 2:30 Mountain Standard Time, that's when the game begins, and you need a ticket. And I told the listeners today that you can get a ticket for as inexpensive as $25, and it's going to be an amazing, great game. And this was, I thought, so exciting when you guys announced this yesterday, that it's going to be live stream on Barstool TV, and there's no charge for that. So you can, if you've got friends at the game, you can watch for free, and you can see what's going on in our stadium, our U of A stadium, and Arizona Stadium. And I think that's really exciting. And I think this is the most critical and wonderful thing, is that 100% of the proceeds go to local charities.
Yes, absolutely. That's the thing we always want to keep in mind, is that I always feel like every empty seat out there is lost dollars for our local charity. So we hope that people will come out and really know that they're going to have an incredible experience at the bowl game. It's going to be so full of fun activities, things that they've never seen happen at games before. And then know doubly that that ticket will, that they just paid for, will also help us go back to charities with some great grants. And so it's a win-win-win for everybody.
I love win-win-win. And what I was going to say to you is that, isn't it, you know, if you have someone for Christmas and you're like, oh, I don't know what to get this person, get them some tickets to this bowl game. What a wonderful way after Christmas to spend time with friends and family that may come in town for the holidays and just go. Whether you know Wyoming or you know Ohio, it doesn't really matter. Just come and cheer and have a great time. And then, if that isn't enough, on New Year's Eve, the Taco Bell New Year's Eve Downtown Bowl Bash. And again, no charge. So it's so amazing. And back at Fifth Avenue in Tool. And that starts at 6 p.m. and goes to 1 a.m. Pace yourself. So tell us about that.
Oh, that's so fun. Our friends at Taco Bell are the sponsor of that, along with Tucson Federal Credit Union. It's just going to be so much fun. We've got some really great bands, local bands opening up with Sophia Rankin, and the Mark Miller Band will be opening. And then we've got fan favorite, my personal favorite, the band that's really, you know, has the most songs on my personal soundtrack, which is Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. They are just so much fun. They're really, really popular in Arizona. They're an Arizona band, and I think we will get a lot of folks to come out just to see Roger Klein and the Peacemakers for free on New Year's Eve. And so it's going to be so exciting. And then we've got our silent disco happening. Brought to you by First Interstate Bank, and that's just going to be so much fun. That's where you wear the headphones and you can change the channels between DJs, and it's completely silent. Everybody else doesn't hear the music except you and the people in the headphones, and it's just a really fun experience. And then we will cap off the night at midnight with our giant Taco Bell taco drop and fireworks, thanks to Tucson Federal Credit Union, off the top of the roof of Hotel Congress. It is an incredible night. It's going to be a Saturday night. It's going to be downtown. I checked the weather. It's going to be beautiful during the day and the night. There's no reason why folks shouldn't come out and enjoy a really great community event for our New Year's Eve Bowl Bash.
And this is to make up for last year when it got canceled, and that was sad. And so we really want to encourage people, especially help our local charities, because they missed a year. And this is probably financially, beside all the fun, I mean, that was a lot of fun you just described. But financially, This is such an important thing for our local community. And we have so many incredible, deserving charities that deserve. So we need to fill the stadium, and then we need to go have fun leading up to the game and enjoy the game and cheer for the Cowboys or cheer for the Bobcats. I don't have a dog in that fight. But I would, I would absolutely love to see everyone turn out and really support the efforts of the Arizona Bowl and Barstool. I think this is a wonderful winning combination, and we've got a great team of volunteers and people that are helping, and it's really been a positive experience for me. Is there anything else you want to add before we go off?
No, I think you've done a great job of summarizing it. You know, we're just really excited to be back this year. This is an important event, like you said, for our community. It does so much for our community. You know, outside of the Gem Show, we bring more visitors to Southern Arizona than any other event in Tucson. And so it's something that everybody benefits from. And we need your support. We need your help to keep this sustainable and moving forward and growing into something even bigger and better than it is today, which is really exciting. I mean, we've got a really amazing matchup for this community, and we can't wait to see everybody out there on December 30th in the stadium.
And in the past, there was some statistic that was thrown out yesterday about these games and viewership. So do you mind? I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was important that these games bring a lot of people. Do you remember what
I think what you're referring to is the fact that we actually overperform compared to our you know, sister bowls that are like bowls, when it comes to filling the stadium, so having fans in the stands, we overperform in that way. We are typically the number one bowl compared to bowls just like us who are bringing in a group of five teams. And so that's exciting. We want to keep doing that. We want to have the most fans in the stands this year as well.
I love it. I'm competitive, you guys, so don't disappoint me. Kim, thank you so much. I'll see you soon, and keep up the great work, and very proud to be a part of this organization and all the things you're doing. Arizona's going to have a great New Year's. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back tomorrow with TPD Tuesday. And I can't talk anymore, Matt.